Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us right now at 844-322-2742. That's 844-32-BASIC. We're live on the air and online right now, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your questions or discuss the important issues in your life right now. Again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been talking the last week or so about this new covenant that we live in today. Jesus ushered that in through his death. His blood ratified the new covenant. As the writer of Hebrews says, you know, a will does not go into effect until the one who made it died. When Jesus died, this new covenant, this new will went into effect. And that's the covenant that we live in today. And it's so important for us to declare ourselves as new covenant believers, to realize and recognize that we stand in the new covenant, not the old. And there's some key practical benefits that we receive from that. In the old, as we talked about yesterday, we get a definition of sin, but we don't get the cure for sin. In the new, we find the ability to say no to sin, as Titus says, or as Paul wrote in the book of Titus, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So in the old covenant, we saw sin defined. In the new covenant, we get all the benefits of learning to be victorious over sin in all aspects of it. And that's a huge difference, isn't it, guys, as far as the old and the new is concerned?
Yeah, Bob, you know, we hear a lot about balancing grace or toning down grace or diminishing grace or, you know, let's put grace juxtaposed against, oh, I don't know, something like truth. Well, the reality is that the truth of the gospel is that we are under grace. And what you just read there from Titus is that, you know, if you're going to take grace away from me, then you're going to take the victory over sin away from me. If you're going to try to balance grace with something else or temper grace, then you're going to temper my victory over sin, because there is a spiritual paradox here. We call it a paradox as humans, but God calls it spiritual common sense. I mean, for him, from his vantage point, he's saying, I've known all along what my love will inspire you to do. I've known all along what my grace will inspire you to do. You're scared of my grace. You want to temper and balance my grace. You want to tell people that it's grace plus something. And what I've been telling you all along is that apart from the law, sin is dead. Under grace, sin is dead. So, you know, it's amazing that we're still 2,000 years later, after Paul already said, you foolish Galatians, who's pulled the wool over your eyes? Who's tricked you? You know, are you going to really do this by human effort, or are you going to stay in grace? Because the grace of God motivates and inspires, and we're going to be sinning less under grace, not more. And yet, Bob, you know very well, I mean, we're constantly perplexed by people who practically assault the message of grace, saying that it's a license to sin or something. And, you know, as we often say, we're sinning just fine without a license. Maybe it's time that we give God's grace a chance and see what he really inspires in us.
Yeah, I love that. Give God's grace a chance, and you'll be surprised and you'll be amazed at what God's grace actually does in your life. And right here we see one of the most practical benefits of it. We're all assaulted with temptation. Sin is constantly knocking at our door. The grace of God is going to teach us how to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And then it's going to teach us how to say yes to living self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That's the grace of God. That's what this gospel is all about. That's what it means to be a new covenant believer.
And that's what you can talk about with us right now at Basic Gospel. If you have a question concerning this issue, or if there's something else you'd like to discuss, a good opportunity right now. The lines are pretty much wide open. We want to hear from you. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742, or the shortened version, 844-32-BASIC. Either way, a good way to call us and let us speak with you today.
Well, we're going to go out to Los Angeles, California, and talk to Antoine, listening to us on oneplace.com today. Hi, Antoine.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I listen to you on the app, so I'm able to get you in L.A. again.
Good. Wonderful. And, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys come through loud and clear on there, because I was missing you guys when you left my radio station. But I know you had to go to other places, and I can see why all the questions you've been getting that you needed to go over there, because we got your grace for so long. It was good to spread it around. But I had a question about heaven. I know there's a lot of scriptures, you know, like when we pass away, do we go like straight to heaven, or is it like, you know, we're waiting? I know we're supposed to be asking for the body presence of the Lord, but is it like, do we go to heaven, or is it like you're going to have like, I know you're just guessing just based on your scriptures, but, you know, we all won't know until we get there. But, you know, what's your best guess of what happens after we pass away?
Yeah, well, Anton, I think we can do better than a best guess, actually. You know, you take it from the perspective of Ephesians, where Ephesians tells us that you, Anton, as a believer in Christ, you are located somewhere. You are located in Christ, and where is Christ? Well, Christ is already seated in heaven, and so Ephesians chapter 2 says that you have been past tense, raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places. So Christ is in heaven, spiritually speaking, and you are in heaven, spiritually speaking. Everybody is somewhere spiritually. And so you look around the planet at this guy and this lady and the people up and down your block on your street there. Well, you know, I mean, they're somewhere. They're either in Adam or they're in Christ. And because you are in Christ, then Ephesians 2 says that God did something with you as the master crane operator. He picked you up out of Adam and transferred you across a great chasm and placed you in Christ. And then in Christ, you were crucified, buried, and raised. And now you're seated right next to God. So heaven is somewhere that you're going, but heaven is also somewhere that you're already seated. So that's kind of a weird for us. Again, it's a paradox, but it's very much true that there's physical geography. As you sit there right now in Los Angeles, California, well, that's your physical position, but you also have a spiritual place that you reside. And that place is in Christ Jesus, seated right next to God already. So heaven is a place you're going, sure, but it's also a place that you are already seated. So for that reason, you know, we don't believe in some sort of holding tank, some sort of dark place that you'll be sitting, like a purgatory or a holding tank, or like a, you know, in a flight pattern around the airport for several thousand years until you finally land. All of those sort of teachings really aren't founded in much. And as you said, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us that we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we don't know everything there is to know about eternity, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if the moment we die physically, if we appear there and hear the sound of the trumpet, and suddenly we're celebrating at the end of the age. Who knows how eternity works, but I don't think there's going to be any holding pattern or any tank that you sit in for thousands of years. It's most important to remember, hey, Antoine, you are already seated in heaven with Christ, and that's real, and that's now.
Another thing, Andrew, that I always like to point out with people, we're always thinking about heaven as a place, but the real, you know, gist and goal and purpose of the gospel message is to connect us with God. It's to have this eternal relationship with Him, and so He makes Himself available to us. He indwells us through His Spirit, so His presence is with us now. And when we die and we're absent from the body, it's not that we're going to a place. It's the fact that we're going to be with a person. We're going to be in God's presence. I'm going to be with Him, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's the key. I'm going to be with Him in a new way that I haven't necessarily experienced here. And to me, that is the greatest thing ever. It's not that I'm going to a place and, you know, occasionally old God will come by and visit, knock on my door and bring me some cookies. I'm going to be with Him, and I'm just going to be with Him forever. And that's the great news of the gospel. Well, hope that helps, Antoine. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. And glad you're listening to us on the app. Are you listening to us on the Basic Gospel app?
No, the TuneIn Radio app.
Okay.
I get that Dallas station.
Okay, excellent.
It's something loud and clear.
Well, that's fantastic, Antoine. I'm so glad you're tuned in. There's many ways to connect with Basic Gospel, certainly live on your radio station, your local radio station. We have a brand new app that's been out a couple of weeks, the Basic Gospel app, which you can download from our website. There's the oneplace.com app through oneplace.com, and then there's things like TuneIn. So
yes,
there's numerous ways to connect with Basic Gospel. Antoine, we're glad you're doing so.
Absolutely. I love hearing it on the headset every day.
Yes, yes, indeed.
844-322-2742, a toll-free call all across the country and in Canada. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is joining Richard Piper, Bob Christopher, and me, and thank you for joining us. Again, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Elizabeth, New Jersey, and talk with Martha, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Martha.
Yes, hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. What's on your mind today?
I just started listening to your broadcast, and, you know, in my church, they don't really teach grace, or at least maybe I don't understand if they're teaching it. My question to you is, I get really confused about, because they talk about sin, and no matter how hard I try not to sin, I still sin. I mean, I'm human, and I'm always like, feeling guilty, and it's just really weird. And then, you know, when you guys talk about it, it's a completely different thing. And I sort of get what you're saying. Like, if you do accept grace, I mean, you're going to try not to sin, but it's going to be a different thing because Christ already, you know, he did it on the cross. We really can't do it. Do I have that right, or am I saying it wrong? I'm just maybe,
can you
guys help me with that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Exactly right.
You've got that right. Yeah, Richard, thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, this wonderful realization that grace is not a thing but a person, it changed my life. I mean, I thought grace was just some abstract idea back in the day, and I struggled with sin as a result. But now that I know that grace is actually a person, Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in me, that is worth paying attention to. That's how he teaches us to say no. That's how he transforms us, renews our minds. All of these things can only be done because it's a real being, a real person is working in my life to change me. And that's why we can say, stop worrying so much about sin and fix your eyes on Jesus, because he's working inside of you right now. That will change your life.
Yeah, Martha, you know, James chapter 3, verse 2 says what you said. It says we all stumble. We all stumble in many ways. So, you know, even the Apostle James is acknowledging what you said just a few moments ago, that we all stumble. So Christianity is not about never stumbling. Christianity is not about never sinning. I mean, the whole point of Jesus dying is that we have committed sins. And so then someone comes along and, misunderstanding grace, they say, are you telling me that, you know, some person can just say, I'm going to go out and sin and blah, 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 blah. Well, whether a true Christian spends 12 seconds saying, I'm going to sin or not, every sin that we do is willful. I mean, every sin is not accidental. Every sin is willful. And Jesus died for those sins. So it doesn't surprise us one bit when someone falls into temptation and sins. You know, Jesus died for all of those. And we can't out-sin the grace of God. We can't exhaust the blood of Jesus. He really did finish our forgiveness. But at the same time, there's more to the gospel. And that is that, Martha, you've got a new heart that doesn't want to sin. And that's why, you know, it eats you up inside. Whenever you commit a sin, you wish you hadn't. Well, you know, the lady next door, she's laying awake nights dreaming of new ways to sin. She doesn't seem to have a problem with sin. But Martha, you're the unusual one. You're the different one, because if you're a child of God, it means that he gave you that new heart that really detests sin. So you're totally forgiven, but you've got a totally new heart as well. And those two pieces of the gospel fit together. I know that your church may or may not be teaching grace very much or very often, but I just want to encourage you to stay plugged in here with Basic Gospel, because I really think This is a message that will really build you up rather than tear you down into a place of guilt and condemnation all the time. It'll build you up and you'll find yourself falling in love with Jesus Christ, and sin will be an afterthought. Sin will be something that goes to the wayside. Sin won't be the byproduct of knowing Jesus. He always leads us into a godly life.
Well, Martha, we are grateful you have tuned into the broadcast. And what I want to do for you today, we have a wonderful new resource called 12 Days of Simply Grace. It's a devotional guide, but it really points you in the right direction as far as the grace of God is concerned. It will show you what grace has actually done in your life. So often we think of salvation as simply forgiveness, but it really is life. God's grace makes us alive together with Christ. God's grace puts God's Spirit inside of us. And as we learn to make grace our way of life, we're going to see a whole different outcome than trying to live the Christian life through human effort. So I want to put this in your hands, and let me put you on hold, and we will send it to you. Our compliments to you, and once you read through it, will you call us back?
Yes, I will. Thank you so much for your time.
You're so welcome, Martha. God bless you, and thanks for your call. Hang on. We'll get that information, and we'll get this to you.
Yeah, guys, want to let our listeners know that for a gift of any amount to the ministry this month, we'll be sending you a copy of 12 Days of Simply Grace by Bob Christopher, and we hope that you'll do that. If you'll go to basicgospel.net to make your donation, just click Donate Today in the graphic on the lower right corner of the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. We'll get a copy on the way to you. In just a moment, we're going to go to Russell in Fort Worth. But, guys, I received an email that from a gentleman who is really going through a struggle right now that I really wanted to interject this this particular question right now. He says, my wife divorced me last year after 18 years of marriage and three beautiful little girls. She has never admitted her adultery, which, of course, led directly to our divorce. Immediately after the custody hearing, she began making her adulterer a part of our daughter's lives, and is now living with him and our little girls. Even after her adultery, countless lies, and incredible cruelty, I long to have a kind and honest relationship with her. However, she has not shown even a hint of remorse or truthfulness. I am torn as to the issue of forgiveness with her and her new man. I honestly don't know what God expects of me. I am hurting so much and live in a constant state of dread as to what she will do next. Can you please help me?
Well, we appreciate somebody reaching out and sharing their heart like that. Andrew, what would you have to say to him that could be a help and encouragement?
Yeah, Bob, I think, first of all, we have to see that there's two sides to this relationship. You know, this person who's written the letter is so concerned about what their side is, and that's good, that's healthy, but they can't control the other person. And so it's really important to make that divide, that just because the other person remains bitter or remains resentful or remains, you know, in some sort of offense against us, we can't control that. And so the only thing we can do is, you know, with them present or with them not present, we just simply say before God that, you know, God, I don't want to live with this resentment inside of me, and I don't want to live with this bitterness inside of me. I'm tired of the scorekeeping. I'm tired of the point system that I've had this person on, and they've failed me big time, and it hurts, and it eats me up, and I can't stand it. But God, I choose to forgive this person, and I choose to release them from anything they owe me. And, you know, Bob, that doesn't mean that the memory banks won't be there. I'm going to get some flashes and images of, and memories of ways they've hurt me, and the enemy would love for me to dwell on those things. But, yeah, I can choose. I can make it my decision today to forgive that person and release that person and not keep score with that person. And mainly I'm doing it for my benefit, because I'm a new creation. I'm not meant for bitterness. I'm not meant for resentment. I don't want it to control me. And it's not about waiting for a feeling of forgiveness. Boy, I could be waiting a long time for that. But instead, it's about a choice that I make. You know, God's given us a will, and we can choose to forgive and release people even when our feelings don't line up. And so I just say, Holy Spirit, guide me through this decision. Walk me through this. And I right now, I choose to forgive and release them. And Bob, you know, forgiveness doesn't mean I forget, and forgiveness doesn't mean I feel different all the time. But I think one thing we can tell the Christian world with surety is that forgiveness is what God works in us, and it's a choice we make in response to His Spirit. And, you know, that's our only part in this. We cannot control the other party.
Right. And the other thing, I just ask this as you're talking, we can extend forgiveness. We can make that choice, but for that forgiveness, you know, for that person that you're forgiving, they need to receive that, don't they?
Yeah.
And oftentimes, a lot of people that have done an offense, they're not willing to admit they've done the offense. And so they don't believe they really need forgiveness. And that's where a lot of the struggle comes, I think. So at that point, you just make the choice. And whether they receive the forgiveness or whether they don't receive the forgiveness, you have no control over that. And that's what you were saying. And then at that point, you just have to be patient and trust the Lord to work in that situation. And boy, that's a hard thing. This walking by faith. No one said it was going to be easy, mm-hmm. but God's Spirit is there, and He gives us the encouragement, and He assures us that we're loved, and He puts a sure foundation under our feet, and it makes the path a lot easier to move down.
Yeah. Well, I hope the listener and the writer of this particular email is listening, and hope that's been a help to you. And speaking of patience, Russell has been very, very patient in Fort Worth,
well,
Texas.
Yes, he has. Well, let's go talk with Russell, listening to us on the Word FM right here in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Russell.
Oh, nothing but time. It's the best waiting I ever did. So I just want to tell you guys, I really appreciate it. All of the information you give is like feeding a hungry man. I just eat it up, and I just can't get enough of it. So I just want to put that out there first.
Well, thank you, Russell. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. One last comment on that is, I lived in condemnation for so many years because, as the lady said before, you know, our religion didn't teach grace, and I never was good enough to just get in it and start living for the Lord like He would want me to. And once I decided to just learn more about Him and put that stuff aside, it's just I asked the Lord to let me learn, and I've done nothing but learn, and it's been a wonderful experience. But let me ask you my question real quick. The Holy Spirit. I personally believe that the Holy Spirit leads us to do things that's in God's will, and then when we go by His leadership and we're in God's will, then that's where the supernatural aspect comes in, whether it be healing or talking to somebody about salvation, whatever it may be.
Well, Russell, let us jump in,
yeah,
since we're about
ahead.
Out of time. Andrew?
Yeah, go ahead. I just want to know how you get the Holy Spirit and how
yeah.
do you follow the Holy Spirit. That,
yeah, well, Russell, the main thing, you know, Paul said the greatest thing about Jesus Christ and the greatest thing about the Holy Spirit and having life in Him is love. Love is the greatest gift, the greatest spiritual gift. And so while there are gifts of healing and gifts of miracles and amazing things can happen, we call those things miracles for a reason, because they're rare, they're unusual, they're awesome, they're incredible. God can do whatever He wants, but He's also working the most amazing miracle in us each and every day, and that is that we can contain and transmit the agape love of God to other people. And that's highly unusual in today's world. That's not natural. It's supernatural. So I encourage you, Russell, and all the listeners out there, if we want to focus, let's not focus on signs and wonders and miracles of an outward way, but let's look at the inward miracle of having this new birth and having the life of God living in us forever. Now, that's a miracle we can all celebrate.
Yes, it is. And Russell, thank you so much for your call. We hope you'll keep listening and call us again. And friends, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. We are a listener-supported ministry, and it's your prayers and gifts that keep the good news of Jesus Christ on the airwaves and online. And for your donation of any amount today, we'll get you a copy of 12 Days of Simply Grace. You'll find the link at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob, Richard, and Andrew of the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.